expose my mind to clarity. Oh, my spirit shudders. Capture the moment, oh, to keep my sanity and the wisdom rushing in. So much clearer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Oh Shoot. I'm your host, Cassidy Lynn, and we're back with another episode where we talk about our opinions today. Today, we're talking about photography things that are dying, photography trends, photography shooting strategies, shooting techniques. We're talking about all of it. And if you think that we're holding back in this episode, you are utterly mistaken. Utterly mistaken. I've never used that word before in my life. So I put a question box on my Instagram asking you guys, what's the deal? What are some things you guys think are dying, fading away in the photography scene? And I also have my own things that I think are dying. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to basically get right into it. I have a quick thing for my YouTube watchers. I am wearing some new merch that's launching soon. It says, "So sorry, it's busy season. There's matching spot pants." It's brown. It's so comfortable. I will be wearing it all day. Brown oversized t-shirt and like brown joggers with pockets. These are by far my favorite joggers that I've launched. So this is going to be available soon. I don't quite know when, but busy season is almost upon us / is upon us. So I want to, you know, I would say in the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to get this set. Super cute. Love it. Have something to wear while you're editing, maybe even while you're shooting. I don't know, whatever. Come support the pod. Okay, so we're going to go through a list. We have over 30 items. And for each of these, obviously, I've got my comments, as I do. We're just going to chit-chat, okay? We're just going to talk about these things. So photography things that are dying. Number one is overly warm / orange edits. Now, 100%, I think we all kind of knew this one. Just kind of based on like what the vibes have been lately, I feel like people are really into like true tone and like the overly warm, you know, just like where the temperature is really high, or maybe you have like some sort of color grading that's really warm. It's not a thing anymore. I mean, if that's your style and if that's what your couple wants, then go for it. I will say I had a couple last year who wanted my old warmer editing style because that when she booked me, that's like what she was expecting. So I was like, absolutely, I can do that for you. It does depend on the client. It depends on your clientele. I think overall, we saw a really large amount of warm toned photos in, I would say, from 2017 to maybe 2019, 2020. And then I think we started to see the rise of true tone. So I forgot to say the things that I think are dying. So I actually did an Instagram reel and a TikTok about this. So if you already saw that, then you might be like, okay, we get it. But if you didn't, let me enlighten you. I basically had three different points that I made. First thing that I think was dying is photos that are taken during golden hour, specifically the golden hour where your subjects are really backlit or the sun makes your subjects really orange and you like embrace that. I think that kind of ties into that really orange editing style. Golden hour really plays a big part into that. And I do find that I find myself gravitating towards shooting during the day or blue hour or, you know, an hour or two before golden hour, just because I like the way it looks better. And I've been seeing a lot of photographers doing that. So that's one. The second thing I've been seeing is less long focal lengths where the whole background is blown out, but rather I feel like we're seeing more photos taken on wider lenses with higher apertures. And I think someone actually commented on my reel and said that the rise of content creators and iPhones, like the popularity of it all, that is why we're taking photos like that, because that's what phones can take. And we, you know, we see photos, let's say on Pinterest or whatever, that are inspo, but they're actually taken on an iPhone. I think we're kind of in this age where photo dumps are really popular. They're iPhone photos. Like, people hardly, if you're like an influencer, you hardly take photos with a camera anymore. You're just using your phone. So I think that's why we're seeing a rise in that style of photography. And then the last thing I said was, oh, like poses that are super stiff, we're seeing less of that. We're definitely seeing more candid feeling poses. Specifically, something I mentioned in my video was when you shoot a couple, like not always having them just like smushed up against each other and like kissing or nose to nose or cheek to cheek or whatever. We're seeing a lot more distance between couples. We're seeing really editorial type poses where, you know, editorial or documentary style, where maybe even the couple isn't even touching, they're just in the same photo. It's very different, but I like it a lot. So those are just the three things that I noticed are dying and then kind of what's on the rise within photography. So let's get back to our list. We have number two, originality. Everyone's doing the same exact thing. So things that are dying, this person thinks originality is dying. And you know, I think there's a little bit of validity in every single one of these write-ins, because ultimately, you know, the number of photographers grows. Like, I feel like fewer people quit than the amount that join. So naturally, there's going to be more and more photographers year after year after year. And it does become hard to become original. And I think sometimes with social media, we're so easily influenced by other people and other photographers. It's so easy to just copy and paste what someone else does. So I 100% agree. I think being original is hard these days. Number three, good old editing. AI is taking over. I agree with this. I think, yeah, AI editing is becoming a real thing. I literally have an ad in my podcast for an AI editing software. Like, I think editing is becoming one of those things where you used to have to go and manually change all these different settings, and now it's become so easy for it to be replicated by a computer. You know, some of the things that we're changing, straightening, masking, changing the temperature, that's something that a computer has learned to do. So it's kind of, I don't know, kind of a give and take with that. I personally don't mind it at all. But I do know there are some people that really like to have a very strong hold over how their photos turn out. And so they won't use AI, which is fine. Okay, this next one is an editing style. The orange and blue editing. Everything is more true to color, which we love. 100%. I don't think we've seen the orange and blue editing style for quite some time. I personally feel like it's been a couple years since I've seen that style of editing, but it kind of goes back to the same idea of like the really orange edits. I definitely think that that is going out slash it already is out. And this person said everything is more true to color. 1000%. Patience. Things that are dying. Patience. The instant gratification culture has gotten out of hand. And I would love for this person to kind of expand on this a little bit, because when I think of this, I'm thinking of from a photographer's perspective. I think people, when it's okay, things that are related to patients, probably with their clients, either their clients instantly want their photos done, or on the flip side, the photographer instantly wants their photos edited. and doesn't want to take the time to actually edit them and wants the instant gratification. So I could see both. And I mean, yeah, patience is definitely dying. I think as technology makes things easier, we lose our patience. Like literally me the other day, I'm sitting on my computer and I type something in the Google and it takes 5 seconds to load. I'm over here refreshing the page. I'm like, what is wrong with my computer? Is my internet down? What's wrong? And literally it just needed a sec. Like it just needed to think a little bit. So, you know, instant gratification, patience, that's something that definitely is dying. Specifically within photography, I'd love to know your guys' thoughts, what you think they're talking about as far as patience goes. Things that are dying in photography, dark and moody edits. Ooh, I don't think that this is a hot take. I definitely would agree. Dark and moody has made its way out. When I think of dark and moody, I think of those really brown edits that used to be on like Dirty Boots and Messy Hair. I don't know if you guys used to follow that Instagram page, but like it was so moody, so like such a specific vibe. And even like the Dirty Boots and Messy Hair presets are so dark and moody. And I think we definitely have gravitated away from that. I honestly feel like social media has made such a big impact on like all of these different trends, truly, because like those feature pages like Dirty Boots and Messy Hair were so popular and then all of a sudden they weren't. And all of a sudden photographers weren't hashtagging 500 hashtags to get featured. They weren't tagging 500 accounts. Instead, we started doing different things to be seen. So I think that kind of changed things up too. Next, we have filters on lenses. You guys know this. The only filter I really have is a Starpoint filter. And I personally think the Starpoint filter, the way that I use it, contributes to more of that film vibe and more of the editorial documentary flash style. So I love my Starpoint filter. I'm not going to stop using it. Do I think there's certain filters that are, you know, on their way out or dying or not as popular? 100%. One thing that comes to my mind are those fractals that you put in front of your lens. I think that we're starting to see less of those because that's something that you can easily do in Photoshop. It ruins your RAW because if you ever don't want the fractal on that photo, you can't ever take it off. So that's something that I would say relates to that one. Being there to document reality. Nowadays it's more forced posed fake stuff. Okay, I feel like this person has more to say about this one. So something that's dying, documenting reality. So I don't know if I really agree with this because I think there's such a big focus right now on storytelling and documentary style shooting. But with that being said, I think forced reality is something that, or like forced posing is something that I could see happening. Like someone wanting a moment, wanting something to be like a good photo. So they turn it into a moment, even though that's not like actually a moment happening. You know, there's validity in that. I'm a little confused, but yeah, I think that when it comes to documenting reality, I mean, specifically on a wedding day, I feel like there's so many forced posed moments. I think of doing a first look with bridesmaids, like that's something that feels very forced, or doing a first look period that feels very forced. Yeah, so I get that. I do. Things that are dying in photography, hopefully the blurry photo trend. Okay, guys, this is not the only submission I got about this one. There were many. Let's talk about it. So it's really popular to take these intentionally blurry photos. And Annie Graham actually posted something, I think it was on her story, about how to take a good blurry photo. And the key is still having something that's in focus. So when you're taking these blurry photos, you have either a face is still in focus or like a certain area of the photo is still in focus, because it shows that it was kind of intentional. Whereas I think the blurry photos where you literally just shake the camera and you can't really see the subject, I'm not obsessed with those. And I've found myself shooting those less and less because I'm just like, I don't know, you can't see anything. Like, I get it tells a story, but I want to be able to identify a little bit of what's going on. So if something's in focus, I think that constitutes as okay for me. But those photos where it's like you just shake the whole camera, you've got so much blur, you don't even know what's going on, I don't know if I love those. And a lot of people felt the same way. It's not necessarily that I think, like, when you deliver a blurry photo, sometimes it's like, bro, like, that's literally blurry. That should have, like, not made the cut. What I love is a blurry photo that still tells a story. And if you saw it on its own, you still would understand what's happening. So I like to sometimes have my subject not in focus, but my background in focus, because I'm like, I feel like that's a really fun way to kind of shift the perspective a little bit. Or doing a blurry photo, but try my best to maintain focus on one area. And how you do that is really hard, actually. You kind of have to like keep one thing still and then have the rest of the photo moving, or you're, you know, moving your camera in a way where only one area of the photo stays in focus. So for example, like rotating your camera in a circle or rotating it around, that middle would stay in focus, but the rest of the photo is blurry. So just something to think about. Okay, let's move on. Hopefully light and airy editing. This is such a popular answer. Like, I would say probably the top answer we got was light and airy editing for things that are dying. And I will say light and airy editing is actually like on a little bit on trend with like the color scheme of what we're seeing a lot of now, true to color editing. However, I think the difference between a light and airy style and what's popular right now, light and airy usually consists of a really, really, really long lens. Like, we're talking 100 millimeters or beyond, where the background is just so blown out. And I think now we're starting to see less of those lenses, like I mentioned, but the true to color, like the true greens, that's something that I think is currently in. But I think when you take the light side of light and airy and you like everything is so overexposed and brightened, that 100% is not the vibe at the moment. Okay, next we have, this is just like a very specific shot, but a lot of people said this. When you're shooting a bride and you do bouquets like all around the bride's face and you're kind of like framing the bride's face, this I think was just truly a Pinterest trend that caught on in like 2023 or 2022. I think there was just like one or two Pinterest photos that really went viral. So like when all these brides were making their Pinterest boards, they saw this pose and it was like, wow, this is so cute, so cool. And, you know, it looks good when you have enough bouquets, but when you don't have enough bouquets, respectfully, it looks dumb. Like, it's just giving like empty Christmas tree. Like, you know, those Christmas trees where like it's a fake tree and there's not enough branches and you just see through it. That's kind of how it feels. So I would agree. I think that trend is definitely going up. Things that are dying, the importance of a single photo. And first of all, thank you for calling me out, because this is 100% directed at me. I mean, we have to agree with this one. Like, with how we have digital cameras now, we're able to take so many photos. I think we have lost the importance of one singular image. Like, when you're shooting film, you've got one shot. You've got maybe two shots and then the moment's over. Whereas when we're shooting DSLR and mirrorless, now we have the ability to just spam our shutter button, take as many photos as we want. So yeah, I think the importance of a single photo, we've really lost that. And I think this is something that we really can work on as photographers. It's something that I think is really important for weddings specifically, having a series of really important single photos. And I think when I am putting together my previews for my galleries, that is something that I try to stress, is doing a compilation of single photos that all together create a moment, create like the whole vibe of the wedding day. But yeah, with that being said, I 100% agree. DSLRs, since we're on the topic, someone said that DSLRs are a photography thing that are dying, that is dying. And I would agree. You guys know I'm a mirrorless girly through and through, and I really don't ever hear of people going to mirrorless and switching back to DSLR, but I always hear of people going from DSLR to mirrorless. So 100% DSLRs, they're dying. I truly think it's going to be like one of those things where we used to shoot on film and now we shoot on like digital cameras. And I think it's going to be the switch DSLR to mirrorless. It really is that big of a switch. I mean, it's not that big to the point where we have to go and like develop film. Like obviously that was crazy, but the way the camera is actually made is so different. So I agree with that one. Things that are dying in photography, charging your worth. I feel like so many people are racing to be the cheapest. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I think when we experience like an influx of the amount of photographers that we're seeing in the industry, pair that with the fact that a lot of people who are newer just want experience. So they will lowball, they'll make themselves cheaper. And I don't know if this person specifically who wrote this had like a specific instance in mind, but I mean, I can think of countless cases where people have come to me and been like, sorry, you're too expensive. Or on the flip side, have said, we ended up going with someone else who's more in our price range. And that just makes you feel like, okay, what do my clients value? Do they value the work or do they value the money? I mean, and there's something to be said about saving money for a wedding. I mean, you're spending, or like even just photography in general, it's expensive. So I think the people that do charge less, like to the point where it's like, it doesn't even cost you, like it costs you more in gas to get somewhere than to actually like for what you're charging. Like, so I think there's definitely a balance, but for sure there's a race to be the cheapest. And that's a very true sentence. And it feels like I need to be the first to respond. I need to be the cheapest. I need to appeal to every single pain point that a client might have so that I just hope in some way, shape, or form they'll book me, because I'm hitting every single pain point. I'm cheap. I'm fast. You know, I will travel to you, no charge, like all these different things. And, you know, I think that does hurt the industry a little bit, because photography just isn't taken as seriously. Like I don't know. I'm not going to say that. Okay. I'll keep going.
If you want to improve your editing workflow but not lose any of the quality in the process, I have the perfect solution for you. Let me introduce you to Aftershoot Edits 2.0. Aftershoot is an AI editing software that's going to give you consistent edits every time. And in this new version of Aftershoot Edits, you get to experience the most consistent edits straight out of Aftershoot. It comes with upgraded AI models and several new features and improvements. One of my favorite improvements is their upgraded AI exposure, which can instantly fix the blown out highlights and murky shadows in your photos. Their upgraded AI effortlessly handles over and underexposed images. Even those tricky backlit shots, you're going to get balanced, detailed photos every single time. Some of their new AI tools include AI masking, advanced cropping, and improved straightening. You can really make your subject pop with Aftershoot's new AI masking. Their AI masking intelligently identifies your subjects and applies a mask over them, which enables you to selectively edit your images. And you can say goodbye to tilted horizons or awkward angles. You can use Aftershoot's improved straightening tool, which is ideal for outdoor shoots. Get consistent edits every single time with AfterShoot. Try AfterShoot Edits 2.0 by going to aftershoot.com/edits. Head on over to the link in the description of this episode to try AfterShoot for free. Thanks so much for listening, and now back to the show.
Something that's dying in the industry, gatekeeping. I had at least two or three people say that gatekeeping is dying. And part of me wonders if the rise of social media and like the importance of social media has really made gatekeeping like not a thing. Because if you gatekeep, it's pretty obvious on social media. Like it's pretty obvious, you know, if someone leaves a comment, you don't reply, like something going on there. And I think on the flip side too, people want to not gatekeep, because when you don't gatekeep, it helps you get more engagement. It helps you become more trustworthy. And then you're able to sell things. You're able to create a relationship with your followers and your community. So, I mean, it's a good thing that gatekeeping is going away, in my opinion. I don't think it really should have ever been a thing in the first place, in my opinion. Now, the one thing, let me just add this in here. If you go out of your way to find a location that is like a lot of people don't use it, / nobody uses it, it's so exactly your vibe, and like you found that location, okay? You did the work, you asked permission, whatever, and then someone goes and just asks you where that is. I don't know if I would share that. And the reason is, like, the difference is like, okay, you're shooting at a place everyone shoots at. You're shooting at, you know, a location that is pretty much common knowledge, or like someone could Google it or whatever and figure it out. If you find a specific tree in a park that's flowering for 2 days and it's the perfect spot, it's got the perfect lighting, you spent forever trying to find a tree like this, and then someone just goes and says, hey, where is that? Honestly, it's a little rude, because you went out of your way to find that spot, and like, it's yours. Like that spot, like if someone else were to find it on their own, great, you can definitely use it, like whatever. But that's the only thing that I could see being an okay thing to gatekeep, in my opinion. Let's keep going. Okay. Things that are dying in photography, my will to continue on. Wow, I'm sorry you feel like you cannot continue. I hope you're okay. I hope you're doing okay. Things that are dying in photography. In general, I think the wedding industry is slowly dying. Wow. That's very interesting. Do I think the industry is slowly dying? I mean, I do think people are doing less big weddings. I think small weddings are definitely on trend. Like those small intimate weddings, I don't know, like in France or something. I definitely think that is trending. Like everyone wants that. Indie Blue. Who else did a wedding like that? Alex Cooper. Like I think these influencers who are doing these smaller but very picturesque weddings, I think that's very much trending right now. The wedding industry, I wouldn't say the industry is dying, especially not for photographers. No matter what type of wedding it is, you always need a photographer. However, whether or not that photographer is a professional, that's up in the air, because I think with the style of photography that's really popular right now, handing someone one of those little point and shoot like film cameras, it really anyone can do that and just go around and take pictures. And I mean, it's a very similar, you know, you're getting photos. So I don't know. I think it just depends on someone's priorities. I don't think wedding photography would ever like die, but I think the type of photographer and who is the actual photographer could change for sure. Even like as we're seeing the rise of like content creators, like wedding content creators. Okay, this next person said that bokeh is dying. I have not heard that word bokeh in a while. And I would 100% agree with this. This has to do with that same idea that I mentioned earlier of shooting on lenses that are a really long focal length. That's how you get bokeh and like the aperture as well. I remember when I first started doing photography, when I got bokeh for the first time, I was probably shooting in front of some tree, you know, because trees give you really good bokeh with like the leaves and stuff. And I remember just being like, I have made it. Like, I was shooting f1.4. The bokeh was there and it was like so incredible that I was able to take a photo like that. And I think every beginner photographer should have that experience of just feeling in awe of what your camera can do and what you can do combined with your camera in order to create this magical bokeh photo. I think that's really cool. However, bokeh definitely is not something we're seeing a lot lately in photography, specifically with weddings, couples, portraits. People are very much more into that film style, more into documentary style. And as a result of that, you know, a photo with a bunch of bokeh feels orchestrated. It feels posed in some way, shape, or form. So I would definitely agree with that one. Shooting through pantyhose or putting stuff in front of your camera to make things look cool. Yeah. I do feel like this was a very big trend, specifically like during COVID. I don't know if you guys feel like this, but in 2020, when we were all like so bored, I think we were just putting whatever we could in front of our camera. It was like, oh, I have these pantyhose. Let me put them in front of my camera. Let me put Saran wrap on my lens and put Vaseline on my lens. Let me, I don't know. I literally saw someone who would put their hair in front of their lens, or someone who would grab like a piece of grass or like a little piece of wheat. You know what I'm talking about? Like that wheat grass type of stuff. And like you'd put that in front of your lens. Yeah, I feel like this was pretty big and I don't think it's that big anymore. I think it just doesn't feel like, oh, I just snapped this quick candid of this person. When you add stuff in front of the lens, it makes it feel posed and planned. And that's what we're, you know, that's what everyone's avoiding nowadays based on trends. Professionalism is dying in photography, according to this person. So, I mean, compared to how photography was even like 10, 20 years ago, I definitely would say professionalism has died down quite a bit. I feel like in photography, it's way more casual. It's like, DM me, let's chat via DMs, text me, let's call each other. Whereas I feel like before it was very like, you reach out to me on my website, we only email, I send the contract, and then, you know, it's very rigid. Yeah, I think the difference between old school photography, and now is the fact that I think we're focusing more on the brand. We're focusing more on connecting with our clients and giving them the person behind the business. Whereas before, I feel like it was very much like a service, an exchange of money for a service, and that was it. I mean, I think about my mom's wedding photos. I don't think she even remembers who her photographer was. Like that, it was literally just a transaction. So I think when it's a transaction, you're more professional because that's what it is. But nowadays we are selling the person, we're selling the brand, and we're selling like the experience and all of that. And I think as a result of that, you lose some of that professionalism because you have to connect with them. And you don't connect as much with someone who's super professional versus someone that's, you know, a little bit more low key. Just my thoughts. Something that's dying in photography, grain. I was surprised to see this, honestly. And a lot of people said this. I didn't realize that grain was dying. Maybe I'm behind on this one. I don't think my photos are super grainy, so I think I'm okay. But like, I don't know. I just feel like with the rise of film, you'd think that grain would also come into that. But I guess like a lot of what I see, there's not a lot of grain usually. I like grain, but never to the point where it completely changes and alters my photo. Like if the first thing I do when I look at a photo is notice the grain, I don't like that because I think it diminishes the quality. It's literally like, what's the point of shooting on this really nice camera if I'm just going to add a bunch of grain on top of it? So yeah, I would agree on that one. Things that are dying in photography, smoke bombs. Guys, you remember like the smoke bomb era? I don't know if this is like dating me, like if this makes me really old, but like smoke bombs, so crazy, like thinking back on that. And do you guys remember that the people who did like the smoke bombs for their gender reveal and like literally started a complete wildfire somewhere and it was like all because of a smoke bomb? I think that really impacted whether or not people use smoke bombs. When it comes to photography and smoke bombs, I despise smoke bombs. They are so hard to work with. You never know what direction the wind is blowing. So you can't predict where the smoke is going to go. It might even go in front of your subject's face and then you're screwed. And then you only have one smoke bomb. They are just, smoke bombs are so unpredictable and so annoying and like potentially could ruin a photo because of, it's literally smoke in front of your lens, in front of your camera. Like it's just not it. And it does make for a cool photo, but I'm so glad that this is something that's dying slash is out because it's just like, it's something else too that contributes to the whole like unplanned documentary style photography. If you've got a smoke bomb, that is the most planned thing I've ever seen. You know what I mean? So like, I think it makes sense that that's on its way out. Okay. Superposed classic photos. This is something I talked about earlier. I don't have to harp on this again. I just wanted to, you know, mention it. This person said, not something dying, but hiring content creators has been trending in my area. So that's very interesting. And I would say within the wedding industry, I think this is a genius position to have. Like, no offense if you're a videographer listening to this, but scratch the wedding videographer, have a wedding content creator instead. Like, I think we really don't consume content that much in vertical or in horizontal anymore. Like, it's all vertical. So I don't know if I want to say this. Okay, I'm going to say it, but like, I just don't know if we need that type of content anymore. Like the video that's horizontal and like so posed and orchestrated, it's cool. But what if we did something similar to that in like a content creator role? Like maybe you're still professional, but you shoot everything in vertical. Maybe it's the same vibe, but a little less like formal. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I definitely love the idea of wedding day content creators though. If I got married again tomorrow and like renew my vows, I would 100% have a content creator at my wedding. Okay, this next one. Mini sessions. I am speechless because I've known this deep in my heart, but never really acknowledged the fact that I feel like these are going out. So let me just share a few of my thoughts. You guys have no choice. You're literally listening to my podcast. Mini sessions, I feel like devalue your work a little bit. And mini sessions are just an inconvenience for the photographer. It's stressful. Hopefully you make a decent amount of money, but it's not attracting the right clients, right? Like it's not attracting those clients that really value what you offer. Instead, it's attracting the clients that maybe value what you offer, but ultimately want it at a discount. However, I will say if I were here and let's say I had like a baby or like a family of like more than just me and Charlie and Appa, I could see myself wanting to be documented more. I feel like right now I don't really need to be documented all that much. Like my life is just kind of the same. But like if I was in a position where I wanted to be documented every single year, mini sessions would be a great opportunity for me to get a photographer, but not let it be like this gigantic thing. So I do think they're valuable. I think there's a place for them, But I do think they kind of devalue a little bit what you offer. So I could see those being on the out as well. And maybe it's like more something for photographers who just want to build their portfolio a little bit. Like doing a mini session is great for that because you're able to just get people in front of your camera, right? Like that's the goal with it. Photography things, that was a big sigh, I'm sorry. Photography things that are dying. Backlit during golden hour, I'm really over it. So there's definitely a split in how people feel about this. People are either like, oh my gosh, I 100% agree. Or people are like, no, you can't ever take golden hour away from me. And I'm kind of in the middle. I still really love golden hour. I love backlit golden hour. But I think styles are shifting to where backlit is just not as popular. Like that type of lighting just isn't. Like we're seeing a lot more harsh lighting, a lot more shadows, a lot more messing around with the sun being directly on your subject. And I think backlit golden hour is like the prime example of like something that's so beautiful. It's so amazing, but it is starting to trend out. And I don't even know why. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's so beautiful, but I think for me, I'm still going to be shooting backlit golden hour. But what I'm going to be doing is shooting it and then shifting my subjects to get different lighting and then, you know, messing around with it. So I'm not only doing backlit the entire session, I'm really switching it up so that I get all different types of lighting to really give me variety in my work. And I think the reason backlit at golden hour is dying is because we've seen it so much. We're sick of it. Everyone does it, like, because it's the most beautiful. And I think now we're seeing an unconventional way of lighting your subjects. It's unique. We haven't seen it before. And it's very intriguing. It's very interesting and appealing to the eye. That's it. Okay. We don't hate you, golden hour. We love you, golden hour, if you're listening. Like, please be okay. Next, we have avoiding direct sunlight. Very similar vibes to the last one, but I agree with this as well. There was a time where we would only shoot backlit and we were avoiding, you know, direct sun as much as possible. But I think it's become something we're embracing. And honestly, it's kind of nice because now we don't have to like take up our entire evening for a shoot. We can shoot in the middle of the day and the lighting is trendy. So I don't know. I'm not mad about it. Okay. This person said, dare I say ... black and white. Did some of you just like die on the inside? Because I don't know if I agree with this one. Do I? I don't think black and white is necessarily dying. I don't think we see it as much, but in my head, black and white has a very specific purpose. And I think black and white really forces you to look at the photo as a whole and really just like, I don't know, I think it's a really good way to draw attention to your subjects and like really force you to appreciate a photo. Like a black and white photo is meant to be stopped and stared at. That's not the type of photo you swipe by. Like that's a photo that you take a minute and you say, okay, how does this make me feel? Now, do I see really any black and white photos on Instagram? Not really. My opinion is like, why take away all the color from a photo? Like why take all of that beauty and all that, all those elements away? And I think there's a way to really artistically do black and white, but for me, I don't really do it hardly at all. I don't. Oh, that's definitely controversial. Someone said tan skin and muted greens, people want real colors. Absolutely. Muted greens, especially, people want to see what it actually looked like. Like we are seeing much less of like those super warm greens. Instead we're seeing, so like, for example, if I have to like call on my presets, my Honey Boba presets definitely have like those greens are shifted quite a bit. And then when we get to my Matcha Glow presets, those are true greens. And those are very, like, it's very true to color compared to my Honey Boba presets. And I think that just kind of shows, you know, the times and the trends of it all. Okay, we've got two more. All-inclusive wedding package companies. So companies that include a DJ, a photo booth, photo, video, etc. 100% agree with this one. People want a hand and want the deciding factor in every single element of their wedding. And I mean, it's even to the point where I feel like people want to find their vendors on their own. They don't want to be recommended someone. They want vendors that they found, like it's theirs, right? Whereas these all-inclusive packages, it's just like you're going to get some random DJ, you're going to get some random wedding photographer, some random photo booth. You don't even know how good the videographer is. You're just giving it all over to one person. I don't think that that's, you know, that's not really ideal for this current like mindset of your what, like I feel like right now the mindset in weddings is like, this is mine. It's like literally my day. I can do whatever I want. And I think an all-inclusive wedding package is kind of the opposite of that. Okay. Last one we have, if this one's not obvious, unfortunately, it's prints and physical photos. Something that's definitely dying slash has already died within photography. Let's have a moment of silence for prints and digital photos, shall we? I said prints and digital photos. I'm going to say prints and physical photos. Dang it. My joke is, it's gone. Anyway, you guys get the point. RIP prints, RIP physical photos. RIP. You had a good run, but we've got it all on our phone now. It is what it is. I will say, let me add this little thing in here. As I've gotten to be a mature 25-year-old, I'm a homeowner, I decorate, whatever. I have appreciated decorative elements in my home more and more as I'm, you know, getting settled and whatever in my life. Something that I am probably going to get in the future is a coffee table book of my wedding photos. However, it's not going to be like the typical coffee table book. I want something that's very visually aesthetic. Like, I want something that has like a very different vibe where, you know, something that's not just like printed on Vistaprint or like just like a plain linen cover. Like I want something, and I don't want it to be my photo on the front, obviously. Like I want it to be like almost like a, I don't even know, guys. I saw a TikTok about it and it was like this wedding album that was so cool. And like the design of it all was so amazing that I was like, that is a coffee table book. You know what I mean? So I could see myself doing that in the future, but I definitely think like in general, definitely something that's dying for sure. Okay, guys, that's all I have for today's episode for you. Thank you so much for listening. Just want to like put it out there. These are, if you love any of these things, don't stop doing them. Like this is all just for fun. Like there are some things I do on that list and I will continue to do them. And it is what it is. You do you. This is just to kind of like, you know, help the people that love to keep up with trends or stay current, whatever. But ultimately at the end of the day, you're an artist. So do what you want to do. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you next week for another episode. Have an amazing rest of your day.
Exposure. With all of the highlights and the shadows is my composure. All the layers above, all the edits and tweaks, I know her. I am so done, need more time developing in my red room. It doesn't matter wherever I am, on the top of the mountain or down in quicksand. Whatever the moment, wherever we stand, I'm taking it. It doesn't matter wherever I am, on the top of the mountain or down in quicksand. Whatever the moment, wherever we stand, I'm taking you, taking you, taking you. Oh, sure. Getting a little bit higher. With every step I take, I'm getting good. Oh, sure. Getting a little bit better, I'm climbing to the top.
getting a little bit better. I'm climbing to the top. Never gonna.